Welcome and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. The long-anticipated surprise billing legislation was introduced this week by members of the Senate Bipartisan Working Group, proposing a federal baseball-style arbitration model for insurers and providers to settle disputes. NAHU's John Green and Chris Hartman review this legislation, along with the reintroduction of NAHU-supported legislation to restore the 40-hour workweek, the Senate companion legislation to treat COBRA as creditable coverage for Medicare, and the House's vote to rescind another piece of Trump administration rulemaking. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, and to rate us. The podcast is posted every Friday on these platforms ahead of being distributed through NAHU's member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. The big whoop this week is the reintroduction of legislation to restore the 40-hour workweek from the ACA's 30-hour coverage eligibility threshold. NAHU has pursued this legislation in various iterations since the health law was signed into law. Why does this continue to be a pressing matter for employers?
I think the reason it's a pressing matter for employers is actually more about the employees than the employers, though there is a responsibility of the employers to keep track of these hours, but it's really about employee choice. And that's what it comes down to, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think there's a lot, you know, if I'm an employee and I'm trying to get 40 hours worth of work, difficulty right now is if I say I'm a waiter at a restaurant and trying to get a full week shift, the restaurant might only want to put me in for 25 hours that week because they don't want to accidentally trigger healthcare benefits. And so what the effect on me at that point becomes is I have to go out and get a second job to get to a full-time amount of work. And so I think this has negative consequences on people who are trying to get 40 hours worth of work in their career. And maybe they're getting healthcare through their spouse or other sorts of programs. So this is really a hindrance to people who want to be able to work more. It is also a burden on those employers who have to track all this time, because a lot of employers used to simply either have you as a salaried employee, mean we didn't track your hours, or you were an hourly employee. And those are the sorts of ways they divided you at. But this law does it differently. And, you know, at 40 hours doesn't mean that the employer doesn't offer healthcare up to 40 hours. They could still choose to offer it at 30. For that matter, they could choose to offer it at 20 if they wanted.
That's very true. But to that point about employee flexibility, that's the title of the bill. It's about Employee Flexibility Act.
Yeah, so we're very excited that in the Senate, Senator Young is the new Senate sponsor of this legislation.
As he was in the House.
When he was a House member, and now he's in the Senate, but he becomes the lead senator on this bill. Along with Senator Young, the leaders on this bill are Senator Manchin of West Virginia, Senator Brasso, and Senator Sinema. So we're excited to have the four of them leading on this in the Senate. And we're very grateful to our House members who are back again for leadership on this. Wolarski, Lipinski, Kelly, and Peterson. They've always been champions of this legislation. So we have even between the Democrats and Republicans on this legislation. And so we're looking forward to seeing this advance.
Last week, we discussed the House passed legislation to rescind the Trump administration's waiver guidance. And this week, the House moved to advance more ACA-related legislation, packaging it with several prescription drug bills. Can you tell us more about this?
So this week, the House of Representatives combining a few different bills that went through the Energy and Commerce Committee, some of which do things to stabilize the individual insurance market, provide for the ability of states to do things like create their own state exchanges and provide some funding and assistance for that, adding some money back into the education programs around healthcare.gov to let people know aware of it. But what they added the most that I actually think has a bigger impact on healthcare is attempts to bring generics to the market more quickly. And so the biggest changes, and even though the bill talks about market stability, I really think the biggest changes in this are around things that will lower the cost of prescription drugs. And they do this by really stopping generic companies to being able to be paid for not bringing their drugs to the market. Something that's happened in the past is literally, if I'm a brand drug company and the patent's coming to an end, I can pay the generic companies not to produce this drug as a generic. And this basically stops that from being able to happen. I think that is a big improvement. That's what's been going on out there. There's also other parts of this that just make it easier to bring those generics to the market. Combines a couple of different bills that went through the Energy and Commerce Committee independently. And so I really think the biggest impact is to see this legislation on those generic drugs come to market more quickly. We are hopeful that this is the first of many prescription drug bills that we expect to see coming out of the House. We, a couple of weeks ago, got very active on one called the STAR Act. That particularly talks about transparency in drug pricing and where the pricing comes through. That passed unanimously out of Ways and Means. We're very hopeful to also see that coming to the House floor sooner rather than later. And so this piece of legislation, I think, is one step. Transparency is another. And I think what you'll see is as these pieces go over to the Senate's probably not going to do them in pieces. I think the Senate will take up a large drug package with maybe some of these ideas that aren't in here, and send it back into House as opposed to doing it piecemeal.
Last Thursday, the president announced his initiative to address surprise and balanced medical billing alongside Senator Bill Cassidy, who has led efforts in Congress on this issue. The president said the legislation would be forthcoming. Can you tell us about the efforts currently underway by Senator Cassidy and how NAHU has been involved in this process?
So he was one of the forerunners for this idea of, you know, dropping legislation to address balanced billing, but he got a lot of pushback because as a physician, he saw this through the lens of a doctor and wanted to put the onus of payment for the balanced bill on the insurance carrier. And so since that time, they've been doing a lot of fact-finding, going to a lot of groups, doing a lot of listening sessions. We've weighed in, other groups have weighed in on the issue, and he is, at this time, we're expecting him to drop a discussion draft very soon, and probably by the time you hear this, there will be one. And so that's really, this is the next pivot off of drugs is on surprise billing. I think that the House has already held some hearings on it. It's going to become even more active. The Ways and Means is poised to host a hearing on the issue, and I hope we have a robust discussion. Our concern has been that the fallback position will be on some sort of arbitration solution, and the physician groups are fighting hard for what they call the New York model. Georgetown just did a study evaluating the New York model, and the big gap in it, of course, for reasons around ERISA, are that self-funded plans are not included in that arbitration system in New York. My other concern is that they go too fast to try to arrive at a solution that just makes matters worse. I think that they should take their time, really look at this carefully, and not act irrationally to get to a solution.
Yeah, so we expect Senator Cassidy to have his bill out, but I don't think that's also going to be the end of the discussion. This is an ongoing conversation. The House Energy and Commerce Committee is putting out a discussion draft. It's a bipartisan draft, and they're looking for comments on that. Obviously, NHU will be heavily involved in commenting on that one. And then we eventually expect the Senate Health Committee to come out with their own version of surprise billing legislation. It may be similar to Senator Cassidy's, it might be different, but I think this is going to continue to be a ongoing conversation where everybody knows they want to protect the consumer, and that all these pieces of the law do protect the consumer. We want to make sure that we don't do things that, though, drive up healthcare prices, which in the end hurts the consumers when they have to pay more in insurance premiums to pay for skyrocketing healthcare costs.
Yeah, I've had a sneak preview at some of the elements of Cassidy's discussion draft, and there's nothing there to set my hair on fire yet.
The legislation to fully repeal the Cadillac tax reached a major milestone this week when it reached 300 co-sponsors. This exceeds the requirement of 290 co-sponsors for a vote on the House floor as part of the rules package passed at the beginning of the session. What are the next steps on this issue?
Yeah, so we're very excited to get to 301 co-sponsors. Thank you to everybody who's been actively engaging their member of Congress on this issue. That needs to continue. We would love to see those co-sponsorship numbers continue to rise. So obviously, we are living in a world of a new rule where if you get 290 co-sponsors, the legislation is brought to the House floor. We're in dialogue with the House leadership about how this bill will be brought to the floor. And, you know, just because members of Congress co-sponsored the legislation, we really want assurances that they'll also vote for that legislation. And so that's what we're going to be actively engaged with. Those conversations are going to be ongoing on both sides of the aisle. But this is an exciting step forward to get to this particular number. And I think this is part of the progress that NAHU has made on this issue, including the delays we've gotten to the Cadillac tax. And now, as much as we were pleased to see the delays to the Cadillac tax, it's really time we repeal this tax altogether.
And I think there's a lot of appetite to do that. We just have to tie up. The conversation is ongoing. It's rapid. It's constant. Chris and I are up there pounding pavement every day on this. As he said, we've got the attention of leadership on both sides of the aisle. And I think that they're going to act on this pretty soon.
It's now time for the senior moment, NAHU's overview of key happenings in Medicare and long-term care policy. John, as the lead of these issuaries, what is your senior moment for the week?
It's the COBRA bill in the Senate. So it looks like we are actually poised. We're right there to drop a bill. I think we have our sponsors ready to go. But there is an issue on tax that is ahead of it that's consuming a lot of oxygen in the air right now over there in the Senate. But once that clears, I think maybe in another week or so, we will have a Senate COBRA companion bill.
Yeah, we're very pleased to see the bill introduced in the House that allows COBRA to be counted as credible coverage. And so we are excited to see similar legislation introduced in the Senate. Senator Young has been very interested in this. Obviously, he's interested in quite a few topics where he's been working on. And we have Senator Brown of Ohio also helping us on this. So we're excited to see this move forward in the Senate.
It's now time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hours Toast of the Week. What are we toasting to this week?
We're toasting to the fact that we've achieved the milestone of 300 co-sponsors on the repeal of the Cadillac tax, thanks to our members, NAHU staff, and our coalition partners.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for this week's installment of the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts, or to join as a member of NAHU, visit nahu.org.